just to add a short word, beloved, from this Old Testament setting. A rhyme for our brother has just so helpfully been written before us about the greatness of Christ and as the fruit of what Christ has done to fill the universe with the marks of his own purpose in the coming day of Lord. Someone said between the meetings, I forget now when it was, is there any place in the Old Testament where the truth of the body is suggested? And of course we had to say no. As we know from the third of Ephesians and other places, that truth has presented to us, wonderful truth of the mystery, with a secret in the heart of God before the ages of time. We cannot possibly find that mystery in its parts in the Old Testament, but I do think we can find certain allusions concerning the company of whom the mystery has become true today, and that I think we do find particularly in these verses of chapter 23 that we have read together. And with a view of just linking them up for a moment, suddenly the word struck one's mind that we do have at least this feature suggested in these Old Testament passages, the bringing in of one, bringing in of man, who in his moral greatness and glory is going to stamp his features on every circle of blessing, and through these circles fill the universe with the impress of his grace and of his glory. As we said just very shortly, for how often we have attempted to help the saints of God from these verses, so well known to us, we want just for a moment to take them up again. Now this sheep of the first fruits, already referred to in our readings, is one of the early pictures of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from among the dead. And as we see here, that which is working out in regard to the work that Christ has done, going into death, coming forth again from among the dead, there is grouped together in typical language many of the implications that the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ have brought into being as a fact in New Testament language for the blessing of our souls today. The first and very obvious one in verse 10 of this is, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto for the priest. Now we discover that this feast is set from the moment when they crossed the Jordan and when they entered for the land. That gives us a closer to the land in the New Testament, why, it is obviously the epistle to the Ephesians. Whereas that wonderful epistle ones, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. And is coming into that land in the sheaf of the first fruits, the first beginning of the harvest. We have a little picture here then of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ in regard to that inheritance. He, the first fruits, crowned with glory and with honor at the right hand of God the right. You may note, either in the margin or in a footnote, that this sheep is really an omer. An omer. The same character, by the way, as we come down to leave me offering. And all that, why, it says, you remember, in the 16th chapter of Exodus, that in the downcoming of that matter, the limit of it was this, an omer for every man, and when they measured it out, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack, none to spare, and no lack, they measured it, and it was measured out to every one of them, an omer for every man. Not quite, by the way, that we sometimes say about Leviticus 16, that the more you gather, the more you get. No, beloved friends, read it carefully. It doesn't mean that. If a man was energetic of having gathered three omers, it was meted out an omer for every man. And if some feeble person only gathered about a third of an omer, it was measured an omer for every man. I believe there's an impression there that what Christ was in all his lordliness and all his preciousness in his appeal to every man, particularly, of course, the people of God, in order to enter in his glory dress as the pattern of what we should be in wilderness conditions. But one was led to that in just thinking a moment about this omer, and it does strike one's mind. If we have that omer in relation to the matter, we have the omer as the measure in relation to the sheep of the first fruits, that the man that descended and came down is the man that has ascended and come back in all his glory, the same measure, the same man, in the same action, Christ coming down in lowliness, first descending, Christ going up to glory, then ascending, that the harvest may be open through this wonderful man, the harvest that you and I have been brought into in spiritual blessing, the answer to the man in this passage. And then there is brought in with this meat offering of 2 10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, a measure that marks out what Christ is in his absolute perfect manhood that is brought along with the sheep of the first fruits, indicative of the Lord Jesus Christ, raised again from among the dead. I don't presume to know all about these measurements, I assure you, but one little thought we have oftentimes suggested about them. 10, as we know, is the number of creature responsibility upon man. 2-4 here coming out, 2 10 deals, as though they're made of the suggestion of man in this world in his responsibility in love to God and love to man. Just a simple suggestion. I'm not sure that I've got the right meaning of that. But there are the 2 tenths that are mentioned, twofold responsibility. And while, as we saw that law, everyone coming under that law of those people failed to render to God what they ought to have rendered for his glory and in blessing to mankind, love to his neighbor, there was another man, the second man out of heaven, as we have heard together, came into that place of responsibility and never failed where to render that which was due to God and that which was due to his neighbor. And it's striking that that comes in now, this mean offering, in relation to Christ raised again from among the dead, that we should remember that it's this perfect man in this perfect pathway that has been through death. And as we know him today, like that you could not get from this section, as we know him today, glorified at God's right hand, Surely, as the angel said, you remember, this same Jesus, there he is now, has risen, O Emmanuel, the pattern of that new heavenly family, the second man out of heaven. And if we should say today that we know him not only as the second man out of heaven, characteristically heavenly, we know tonight that he's in heaven, or indeed, as we heard, Father of all heavens, and established at the right hand of God in heaven. Now that brings to light this second phase that we began with, at least in answer, on Saturday night. Within the descent of the Holy Spirit of God from that man of all these other things were true concerning him. It's from that man the Spirit of God has come down. And can we think, beloved, that the Spirit of God will be here to affect anything in the saints of God that is not already established in that man in all his glory at the right hand of God? We need not be surprised then that when we come to this new meat offering, the formation, as we well know, of the Christian company in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, the 50 days of this chapter, being the Pentecost of Acts 2, 50 days, that coming down then and bringing to light this Christian company, will there be any other hope than that he is going to form in this company the very same features that came to light in Christ himself and have now been glorified in glorified manhood with our Lord Jesus Christ in the glory. What is that the Spirit is working for today? I believe it was formed there in its features originally in the day of Pentecost. When, of course, we speak about working to that, we are still thinking about our Bible reading in ministry and all that's coming down. It's to present and to produce an answer in the same of that wonderful objective, the stature, the measure, the fullness of all his moral affection in his perfect manhood for the eternal delight of God. And hence we find this new meat offering brought unto their habitations was of 2 10 yields of fine flour. Rather sadly, we are reminded in verse 17 that this time they are baking with leaven. Someone referred to that, you remember, on Saturday night. It is only that we might bear minded that while there has been formed by the Spirit in every one of our souls, that which is a reproduction of our Lord Jesus Christ, we know, do we not, of that adverse element suggested here by that letter, that the Spirit completely sets aside, never attempts to alter, but to hold us in spite of it and distinctively from it, that his word might go on, forming within us more and more these wonderful features of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, just one little word. I didn't want to go on too long with this. Just one little word on that. Isn't it wonderful, beloved, that we can come together as we do in these meetings? We know that old leaven is still there, and in spite of it, to simply detach from it entirely, forgetting for a moment all about it, as I'm sure we are on days like this, simply forgetting about that leaven, and absorbing with this unfolding of all that Christ is doing in the formation of these wonderful features in every one of our souls. So is the leaven is there, this old man. Thank God something else is there, seems suggestively in these 2 10 deals of fine flour, that while it's the collective company, we believe, born in Christianity, yet have we not seen, filling all the house, sitting upon each one of them, filling each one of them, baptized into one body, drinking every one of us individually of that one spirit. In order then that in you, in me, and in every one of us, there might be formed and come into the split out under the eye of God in the unique offering. The features of the light of his heart is a meat offering, Christ in battle, as he moves through this world for the pleasure of God. That's how he's beginning to fill us today, beloved, in the ministry of the word, in the formation of these two tin fields of fine flour. But just one more we referred to in chapter 24. Did you believe in its correct setting, looking on to the world to come, when Israel will at last be found in their place, and each one of them appearing before Jehovah in Zion? We read again about these cakes in verse 5. Thou shalt take fine flour, and bake 12 cakes thereof, 2 10 meals shall be in one cake. Now if you challenge me after the meeting, and ask me how Israel is going to reform like Christ in this way, like the assembly, I can only suggest, again, our brother put this thought into one's mind, that when the new covenant is ministered to them, in the 8th and 9th and 10th of Hebrews, as we have learned it, when in mind and in heart the laws of God are there, intelligently understanding them in the mind, gladly from their affections, answering to them in their hearts, here is the company of Israel, who will also take on the character under the ministry of that new covenant, the character of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Mark you, I believe what we have in that form of Ephesians goes beyond the assembly, and it goes beyond Israel, but in the old things you see, there's a living intelligent company in heaven, and a living intelligent company on earth, and the features of Christ on the heavenly side in glory will be reflected by the heavenly company, and the features of Christ on earth are going to be reflected by the earthly company, and by all things, as we have heard, will take on the impression of Christ in his greatness and glory, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Why, living in this company, this intelligent, living, heavenly company, for we will be in heaven in that day, will be capable not only, as they will be formed in that day to be like Christ, capable of giving back some responsive answer, and from the earth, with Israel, who have so lamentably failed in their ways here with God himself, yes, and in that company, from the earth, the living, intelligent company, formed by Christ, there will again grow back in notes of praise and worship that which will delight his heart and the heart of our Lord. I wanted to add those two little things, just like a flash, as our brother was speaking. Filling all things, yes, that is what is going on. And how glad we shall be on that day, I'm sure, beloved, not only to having attained to it in glory as the fruit of the working of the Spirit of God, but to find even on earth, to the very people to whom Christ came, to the very people who crucified him when he came, that we too will be brought in on the ministry of the new covenant and will take on those selfish features, the features